Amen. What a beautiful song to begin us and begin this service this morning. And with great thanks to Deidre Hebert for sharing that with us, who's relatively new to our community, but we're so grateful for that gift of your music. Dee, thank you for sharing that this morning. And is also the name of that song you shared is just a beautiful opening to this Holy Week that we are starting this week as we journey, take our final walk on our journey toward the cross and toward Easter. And so welcome to all of you to this time of worship. We're gathering here at Tabernacle United Church, where we are not together in a physical building, but we are gathered spiritually across geography and many places here gathered this morning to worship God and to remember who we are and to hear again the story of God's good news to us. So welcome to each of you. We're grateful to be gathering on this Palm Sunday, the beginning of Holy Week. And my name is Katie, Pastor Katie. My pronouns are she, her, hers. And I'm grateful to be here worshiping with all of you this morning. Want to give a special welcome to those of you who are visiting for the first time. If you're here and are joining us for the first time, thank you for being with us. We welcome you and hope this is a meaningful service for you. If you are new, we would love for you to introduce yourself. You can do that through the chat feature, or you can also fill out our visitor card, a virtual visitor card, which we will put in the chat now. And we will do that also at the end of the service if you want to fill it out later on. We would love to hear from you a little bit about you. If you can share some with us, we would greatly appreciate it and would love to connect further. So welcome, welcome, welcome. I just want to give a few announcements before we start our worship this morning. As I mentioned today, this is the beginning of Holy Week. Today is Palm Sunday. One of the images we are using really for today, as well as through this week, is the image of laying down our clothing, laying down our garments in order to follow in the way of Jesus and to follow in the way of our healer, Jesus. As you know, we've been through the series of healing, the theme of healing in Mark's gospel. And this week we are living into that image that of laying down our clothing in order to follow. And so there are a couple things connected to that theme. One is today, during a song, we're going to invite you to wave articles of clothing and celebrate and to kind of as a reaffirmation of our desire to follow in Jesus's way. So there'll be a time a little bit later in the service where I'll invite us all to wave some clothing and to celebrate together. Also this week, we are inviting you to consider literally laying down your clothes. We're going to do a clothing drive where our clothing will be going to Broad Street Ministry to folks who need them. We also will have another portion of that clothing drive for clothing that we cannot no longer use or is not good to enough to give to other people. We are going to be doing recycling, a recycling project with our clothing. And so there is a form we'd like you to fill out so that we can get a sense for how we're going to coordinate this. And so Shell is putting that form in the chat right now. We'll also put that in at the end. And there was an announcement about that this past week. So we will follow up as well this coming week about ways you can engage in that ministry of laying down your clothes. For the healing work in this world. So that's going on this week. There are also a couple other opportunities I want to invite you to participate in. On Monday, Thursday evening this week at 7 o'clock, we will be having a healing service on Zoom. We invite you to bring oil. It can be olive oil or any kind of oil for self-anointing for that time, and also elements for communion. So that is at 7 o'clock this Thursday, a healing service. Also on Good Friday at noon, we will meet for all who are able. We will be reading the Passion together, according to Mark, with some time for pause and meditation throughout. So that will be at noon, vigil on Good Friday of reading the Passion. And then later that evening at 6 o'clock, we wanna lift up the Trans Friday, Good Friday special that Reverend Dasha is leading on her YouTube channel. The proceeds for that event are going to the speakers as well as to Morris Home. It's called the Trans Friday Good Friday Special. And Pax Wrestler and Chris Page are two of the featured speakers. So we really encourage you to tune into that. That is this Good Friday at 6 p.m. Also, we will share information. If you don't have the information about that, we'll get that to you. And then, of course, next Sunday is Easter Sunday, and we will gather here at 10 a.m. to celebrate the good news of the resurrection. So we hope you can join us for that time as well. So those are our announcements. A lot going on this week. We hope you can join us for those times to gather and be together through this special time. So let us now join our hearts together as we worship God.
Good morning. My name's Anna Grasik. My pronouns are she and her. Please join me in the call to worship. Come into this sacred place. Bring all that you have worn on your body and over your spirit in the cold months. Come into this sacred time when we are invited to shed what we do not need. God will encourage us. God will protect us.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Pax, and my pronouns are they, them. And this first song that we'll sing, Above All, I was reminded of this song by Crystal Cheatham, who shared it with us many months ago. But I invite you to sing this song. It's one that maybe you grew up with that we're trying to reclaim and think about in a new way. But let's sing together this song that tells some of the story of Easter.
Above all powers, above all kings, above all nature and all created things, above all wisdom and might of humankind, you were here before the dawn of time. Above all kingdoms, above all thrones, above all wonders the world has ever known, above all wealth and treasures of the earth, there's no way to measure what you're worth. Crucified, laid behind a stone, live to die, rejected and alone, like a rose trampled on the ground. You took the fall and thought of me above all. Above all power, above all kings, above all nature and all created things, above all wisdom and might of humankind, you were here before the dawn of time. Above all kingdoms, above all thrones, above all wonders the world has ever known, above all wealth and treasures of the earth, there's no way to measure what you're worth. Crucified, laid behind a stone, you live rejected and alone, like a rose trampled off in the ground. You took the fall and thought of me above all. Crucified, laid behind a stone, you lived to die, rejected and alone, like a rose trampled on the ground. You took the fall and thought of me above all.
Amen. I'm feeling grateful for the ability to sing together in new ways, and Jennifer Jordan and Laura Jordan helped me sing Hallelujah, Salvation, and Glory, that I invite you all to sing together. If you don't know the parts, we'll learn them slowly together throughout the song. Let's sing together.
Thank you so much for that. That was wonderful. Please join me now in our opening prayer. God of patience, lead us with special care through today's prayers and songs and meditation. Help us understand that Jesus did not enter Jerusalem hearing only cries of Hosanna. Help us understand that he first challenged his disciples to understand his sacrifice. Help us understand that Jesus challenges us as well. We are called to rethink our possessions, our riches, absolute or relative. We are called to measure ourselves against those who give up so much or everything to follow you. Help us reshape our lives around healing the world. Join me now in the prayer of confession. God, we confess that we come here with so many possessions. We know why. We think they will protect us from need or cold or hunger or loneliness. Sometimes we assume we deserve them. Sometimes we take them for granted. Sometimes we actually give thanks for what we have. But we also know that the season of passion asks us to shed some of that protection. God, help us understand how the blind man who had almost nothing could lay down his cloak before Jesus. Help us understand his willingness to go without. Help us live into our own acts of giving and change. Help us understand that Jesus calls us to live as givers and healers through all seasons. Help us lay down our garments. Help us heal the world as Jesus heals our soul. The God who challenges us to change our lives will not force us into that change alone. The God who calls us to lay down our garments will stay by us as we struggle through those changes. Thanks be to God. Friends, believe in the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, we are set free.
Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna, 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 Hosanna.
I invite us now to take a moment to greet one another with signs of Christ's peace. So let us, we can have an opportunity to unmute and we'll go to gallery view. Let us share signs of Christ's peace with one another. And may the peace of Christ be with all of you.
And also with you.
Amen. With you. Peace.
Peace.
To you. Good morning.
Peace.
Peace.
Morning, Angie Laura. Morning, Angie Laura.
Levi.
Morning. Auntie Marlene.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, Grandma. Morning.
Happy birthday, Tonya.
Morning.
Happy birthday,
Tonya.
Happy birthday,
Tonya.
Happy birthday.
Good morning,
Levi.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Michael, I see you, Mike.
Too.
See you.
Visit you again.
Hi.
I can't wait to visit you again, Tonya.
Hi, Amanda. Good to see you.
Hi, Susan.
Hi, everyone.
Hi.
Hi,
good morning,
everyone.
Johnetta. Peace to
good
you.
Good morning, Zach.
I don't see Michael. I see Michael. Michael is here. There he is, waving.
There.
Hi, Sarah.
Hello.
Peace, Aria.
Hi, Vic and Charlene.
Hey, everybody.
Good morning, Ken.
Hi, Ken.
Eloise, Andy,
from the hospital.
Oh, yay!
Oh. Hi, Lucinda.
Hi, Priscilla.
Good morning, Ed.
Hi, Michael. Now I see you, Michael. Hi.
Peace, Ray and Elizabeth.
Oh, peace to you, Ed. Good morning.
Hi. Yeah, just do something.
Good music, Corona.
Hi.
Hi. Bird.
Hi,
Scott. Bird. Peace.
Hi, Eloise.
Hello, Scott.
Hi.
Oh, good to see you, Eloise.
Yeah.
Hi, Ken.
Thank you.
Hi, everybody.
Auntie Hi. Laura. What a beautiful voice.
Thank you very much. Peace, Erica.
Yes, that was lovely.
It was just beautiful.
Yeah, music was wonderful.
Yeah, you love
what?
Deirdre, your music was beautiful.
Yes, it was.
Thank
Deirdre.
You.
It was just gorgeous.
Yes.
Who's yeah, that's just you. What I needed this morning.
Hi, Oscar. Hi. Hi, Oscar. How come I don't? I also don't see Oscar. Hi, Heather.
Hi, Geneva.
Hi, Andy. And Lynn.
Hi, Joanna. Hi, Mama. Little Mama.
Good morning, Lucinda.
Yep. Hi, Ed.
Hi, Ginny.
Hi.
Sarah Hill, hello.
Oh, there's Pax.
Hi, Pax.
Sweater. I love your sweater.
Oh, thank you. It's from Sana.
Oh.
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 Nice.
I don't know. Speaker.
Oh, there I am.
A reading from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 10, verses 32 through 45. Jesus and his disciples were on the road going up to Jerusalem with Jesus in the lead. The disciples were amazed while the others falling behind were afraid. Taking the 12 aside again, he told them what was about to happen to him. Look, he said, we are going up to Jerusalem. The human one will be handed over to the chief priests and the legal experts. They will condemn him to death and hand him over to the Gentiles. They will ridicule him, spit on him, torture him, and kill him. After 3 days, he will rise up. James and John, Zebedee's sons, came to Jesus and said, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask." "What do you want me to do for you?" he asked. They said, "Allow one of us to sit on your right and the other on your left when you enter your glory." Jesus replied, "You don't know what you're asking. Can you drink the cup I drink or receive the baptism I receive?" "We can," they answered. Jesus said, "You will drink the cup I drink and receive the baptism I receive. But to sit at my right or left hand isn't mine to give. It belongs to those for whom it has been prepared." Now, when the other 10 disciples heard about this, they became angry with James and John. Jesus called them over and said, You know that the ones who are considered the rulers by the Gentiles show off their authority over them, and their high-ranking officials order them around. But that's not the way it will be with you. Whoever wants to be great among you will be your servant. Whoever wants to be first among you will be the slave of all. For the human one didn't come to be served, but rather to serve and give his life to liberate many people. Holy wisdom, holy word. Thanks be to God.
This is the time in our service where we invite the children and the young at heart closer to hear the children's time. So if you're one of the folks who would like to be part of a smaller circle, you can go down to the reactions button on your Zoom window and click raise hand to be a part of a smaller circle for children's time. And let's sing to invite those folks forward.
You are a child of God. You are a child of God. Let your light shine bright to the world. You are a child of God.
Good morning, Tab family. Special hellos to all the young people's faces I'm seeing on the screen. My name is Nicole and my pronouns are she, her, and this is Elliot, whose pronouns are he and him. If everybody could give me a wave, I would love to see a wave from all of you. Hi, hello, hello, nice to see you today. So during Lent, we have been talking about healing a lot. And I have been thinking about how sometimes for kids, and maybe not only for kids, it helps a little bit to say it's okay sometimes when things get scary or things feel sensitive. Sometimes it's good to say it's okay.
Am I holding this upside down?
Sometimes it does project backwards. So we brought our It's Okay book today, and Elliot and I are going to read this together. So what is this book called, Elliot?
It's Okay to Be Different.
By Todd Parr. The first page says, it's okay to be missing a tooth, or two, or three. You want to do a smile in there, Elliot? Elliot's face looks a lot like this face. And it is okay.
It's okay to need some help.
And it's okay to have a different kind of nose.
It's okay to wear glasses.
And it's okay to talk about your feelings. Roar.
It's okay to eat macaroni and cheese in the bathtub.
What? Did you read that right? Did you read that right? Who has eaten macaroni and cheese in their bathtub? Anybody? But it's okay, I guess, according to Todd. This one says, it's okay to say no to bad things. What's the bad thing in that picture?
The fish hook.
Yeah. It's okay to say no to fish hooks.
Maybe Todd ate macaroni and cheese in the bathtub.
I think Todd was sending a message to himself, the author, that it's okay.
It's okay to come in last.
It's okay to dance by yourself. Now that is something I've done.
It's okay to have a pet worm.
It's okay to be proud of yourself.
Of course it's okay to be proud of yourself. It's okay to have an invisible friend.
It's okay to do something nice for someone. I thought this was kind of cool because we have, that's part of what our church family is doing today. is actually our clothes are symbolic, doing something nice for somebody else.
I don't think any kids know what symbolic means.
Oh, a way of representing. It's pointing to what we're doing today. Although we don't want to leave our invisible friend naked. So we'll keep those clothes for them.
It's okay to lose your mittens.
And last but not least, it's okay to get mad with a skunk getting mad. Okay, and Elliot's going to read the last special message from the author.
It's okay to be different. You are special and important just because of being who you are. Love, Todd.
So these books always end with a special message from the author. And I think we could imagine that our church family might say the same thing. It's okay to be yourself. It's okay to be different. And sometimes we all need God to say, it's okay to be having strong emotions. It's okay to be tired. So that's what we say today is it's okay. And would you join me for a prayer? Do you want to say the words after me?
Okay.
Dear God.
Dear God.
Thank you for saying it's okay.
Thank you for saying it's okay.
Especially for those sensitive things.
Especially for those sensitive things.
Amen.
Amen.
And speaking of laying down clothes, we're going to sing this next song together with a little bit of physical action, if you will. So if you have a clothing item, I'm just going to use my stole this morning, but we're going to wave our clothes and think about it as a sign of our laying down our clothing and our commitment, as Elliot helped us to explain, the symbol of our commitment to following in the healing way of Jesus. So let's wave our clothing, even if we're not quite know, if we don't quite know about our commitment yet, let's just do it anyway and see where it takes us. All right, so you can do that. We're going to go to gallery view and sing together, and Pax is going to lead us.
Halle, halle, hallelujah. Halle, halle, hallelujah. Halle, halle, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Come lay down your burdens, Jesus heals. Come lay down your burdens, Jesus heals. Come lay down your burdens, Jesus heals. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Halle, halle. Halle, halle, hallelujah. Halle, halle, hallelujah. Halle, halle, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Thanks, everyone. It's good to see you. Our second reading this morning is really a continuation of where Anna began. We're just going to continue to read through these next couple episodes in Mark's gospel. So let's hear this second portion of our reading, starting in verse 46 of Mark 10 and going all the way to 11, verse 10. Jesus and his followers came into Jericho. As Jesus was leaving Jericho together with his disciples and a sizable crowd, a blind beggar named Bartimaeus, Timaeus's son, was sitting beside the road. When he heard that Jesus of Nazareth was there, he began to shout, "Jesus, Son of David, show me mercy." Many scolded him, telling him to be quiet, but he shouted even louder, "Son of David, show me mercy." Jesus stopped and said, "Call him forward." They called the blind man, "Be encouraged, get up, he's calling you." Throwing his coat to the side, he jumped up and came to Jesus. Jesus asked him, "What do you want me to do for you?" The blind man said, "Teacher, I want to see." Jesus said, "Go, your faith has healed you." And at once he was able to see, and he began to follow Jesus on the way. When Jesus and his followers approached Jerusalem, they came to Bethpage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, and Jesus gave two disciples a task, saying to them, "Go into the village over there. As soon as you enter it, you will find tied up there a colt that no one has ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone says to you, 'Why are you doing this?' say, 'Its master needs it,' and he will send it back right away." They went and found a colt tied to a gate outside on the street, and they untied it. Some people standing around said to them, "What are you doing untying the colt?" And they told them just what Jesus said, and they left them alone. They brought the colt to Jesus and threw their clothes upon it, and he sat on it. Many people spread out their clothes on the road, while others spread branches cut from the fields. Those in front of him and those following were shouting, "Hosanna! Blessings on the one who comes in the name of our Lord. Blessings on the coming kingdom of our ancestor David. Hosanna in the highest." This is holy wisdom, holy word. Thanks be to God. Let's take a moment now to center ourselves in prayer. Oh God, this is Holy Week. And in ways, it's a week just like any other, and yet it is also a week that is like every other. We still need your grace. We still need your good news. We still need healing, and we still long to follow in your way. Help us, God, make that clear to us, the steps we need to take. God, I ask that you would speak through me, and I ask that you would speak in spite of me, and that the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts would be to your glory. O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So here we are on Palm Sunday. This is our second Holy Week in quarantine. You can believe it. We did this again last year. We were on Palm Sunday in this virtual setting, and here we are again. It's always interesting to me, and I'm particularly noticing it this year as we've been looking through the Gospel of Mark and reading these healing stories throughout the Gospel, that the Gospel of Mark, and in fact, even in the Christian community, we slow down this week. Up to this time, it's almost as if Jesus has been running from town to town, healing and exorcising demons. And yet when we come to this place in Mark's gospel, everything slows down. And it's as if Mark wants us to slow down and really linger in these last words and last time in this gospel, in the gospel. So for example, Jesus spends 3 days in Bethany, and then and that slows down the pace. And then as we get into the week, we almost get an hour by hour account of Jesus's death. And it's slow and long. And I think part of what we are invited to do this week again is to slow down. And really, as the Christian community, we're asked to gather around the cross and slow down there for a little while. And really it's an invitation that we not lie or cover up the suffering that we find there. That we're asked to be there for a while, see the cross for what it is, instrument of death and contend with it and face it. Easter will be meaningless if we don't go there. And if we don't engage suffering, if we don't engage the cross, resurrection and the story of the resurrection will end up being shallow, and it will end up being just about cute little Easter bunnies or those flowers blooming in the spring, right? Which isn't bad, but that's not really what the resurrection is about. And we have to go through this week. We have to know and experience and be there where the cross is in order to get to Easter. And we will find that as we move through this time. And even though we are a resurrection people, even though we are an Easter people, we are only that because we know about the cross. And we know about the dismal power of death and the horror of suffering in this world. And we carry those wounds and the pain inside of us too. And so that the cross takes us to the place of our woundedness and the woundedness of others. Jesus, throughout Mark's gospel, is always, and in this instance today, as you heard Anna read, it's the third time that Jesus has asked the disciples to understand that he must go through suffering. This is the third time he's insisted and said, you've got to understand, I must undergo suffering. Though Jesus is God's beloved child, he is not protected from suffering any more than any of us are. That fact alone is quite instructive, I believe, for our theology. So I just want to pause there for a minute. Let's hear that again. To be God's child, to be loved by God, does not mean we are protected from suffering. Do you hear that? Do you hear that? Jesus showed that with his life and even in the insistence with the disciples that they would understand that he is not protected from suffering. To be God's child, to be loved by God, does not mean we are protected from suffering. He says to his disciples, look, we're going up to Jerusalem and there it will be. I will be condemned to death. Jesus won't escape suffering, though he be God's child. Of course, we know that there's a kind of particular suffering around this time with Jesus, and in a way he knows, he's able to predict that he is going to suffer precisely because of the healing work he's been doing. So I want to connect us a little bit to where we've been these past weeks. We've noted throughout this series in Lent that healing and liberation go hand in hand in Mark's gospel. Each healing story, as we've seen, is about disrupting the status quo. We saw how Jesus in one story got furious at the unjust systems and normalized violence that keep people sick, like the man who had leprosy. So we remember he got furious at that, at those systems and normalized violence. We saw how Jesus released and healed the person who was paralyzed, who was isolated and traumatized by spiritual and religious violence, by offering him forgiveness. We saw that Jesus's healing ministry was about bringing that person also back into community. And in nearly every healing story, we see Jesus pulling people back into community, because part of the fundamental problem in the Roman Empire, and I would say now in the American Empire, is that we abandon people in their suffering and we create isolation and we abandon people there. Jesus is healing, so he's restoring people into community so they don't have to go through suffering alone. He's always working toward that vision of the kingdom of God, where people with all kinds of disabilities are caring for each other so we don't have to go through suffering alone. And part of the devastating reality of the cross is, and we watch Jesus go through this, is that he goes through abandonment in his suffering. That is excruciating. We know that it's one thing to suffer, but to be alone, to be abandoned in our suffering, that is excruciating. I can't help but think, and I know this is close to our hearts, I can't help but think about all of that, those stories we've heard this past year about abandonment in suffering. The thousands of people in hospital rooms across this country and in across the world who had to die alone. And the stories we've heard of that, some of us have been close to people who have died. And yet even in those stories, we also remember the resistance that of humans to love anyway, to find ways to connect people, whether that be doctors and nurses or other care workers holding up screens, iPhones, to be able to connect people with their loved ones, or holding hands of patients dying and standing in the gap. We know these stories of testimony of those who stand there and who are close and who will not abandon others in their time of death. But we have felt that heaviness this year through those stories. And certainly the cross has been in many other places. It's been in where bodies were treated unholy and unworthy of life. We remember today, I'm remembering just over this past year, the names, we could say many names, but George Floyd, Ahmaud Arbery, Breonna Taylor, Dominique Remy Fels. And then of course, more recently, we remember the killings that took place right outside of Atlanta, the majority of victims who were of Asian descent. The cross is there too. And those bodies are the bodies of Jesus. Part of the horror is facing the fact that we as a society have abandoned certain bodies in life and in death. That is the cross, and we have to be there and look at that. Ta-Nehisi Coates has a chilling quote in his book, Between the World and Me. He says, all our phrasing, race relations, racial chasm, racial justice, racial profiling, white privilege, and even white supremacy serves to obscure that racism is a visceral experience. It lands with great violence upon the body. We don't want to face the cross because of what Ta-Nehisi Coates says, because the cross shows us how violence lands upon the body, and especially certain bodies. And we have been near the cross for a prolonged season this year. And there is something in me that resists having to go there again this week. And yet there is also something that I think pulls us in that direction. And I think it's compassion. I think it's recognizing our own need, our own woundedness, and longing to be together around in that place. And it's realizing that somehow our common healing involves us gathering around the cross, refusing to deny the pain and the wounds we find there, and refusing to abandon each other to suffer alone. We who have experienced Jesus coming close to us, touching our wounds, we who have tasted his liberating power and felt his sacrificial love for us, we now in Holy Week are asked to become the ones who care for Jesus's body. And we do not abandon him. That is what the shift now in Holy Week is, that we are asked to care for Jesus's body. We take on his work. We disrupt the status quo that normalizes violence. We make sure that no one is abandoned or left to walk life's journey alone. Our calling together is to be the community that gathers around the cross and refuses to abandon Jesus. We have seen in this season how the healing ministry of Jesus is not about escaping suffering as much as it is about our refusal to abandon each other to go through it alone. We've seen that. And that's what Christ's body does in the world. It's at work wherever people refuse to abandon each other to suffer alone. Pastor and teacher Peter Gomes says it so well. He says, the passion is not simply to see suffering in a play or a Greek tragedy, but it's to share in suffering, to weep as Jesus wept at the brokenness of what is meant to be whole, to see a thing as it is meant to be and experience it broken, fractured, and shattered, not just the Savior's body, but the body of the world. To suffer with indignity and inhumanity, to weep at injustice and crime and violence, and to enter into the sorrow of others as if they were our own because they are our own. End quote. We started off this series in Lent with the story of Bartimaeus. And if you noticed, we're coming back full circle. We're back here in this with the story of Bartimaeus, and this story comes right before Jesus enters into Jerusalem on the donkey. It's the story where people we hear begin to wave their palms and lay down their clothing on the ground to welcome Jesus. And perhaps you noticed that connection this time, that Bartimaeus also lays down his clothing to follow Jesus. We see how Bartimaeus has true sight, while in direct contrast, the disciples remain blind. They are caught up in the ideology of domination and supremacy. They want to know which one of them can hold first and second cabinet positions in the coming kingdom of God. They are so off mark here again, off track again. And Bartimaeus is shown in contrast to the disciples as the one who has true vision. And Bartimaeus, as well as the people in the street, the crowds, they lay down their cloaks, they lay down their clothing in this symbolic act of letting go of what holds them from following in Jesus's way. While the disciples have not yet been able to symbolically lay down the ideology of domination and supremacy, Bartimaeus and the crowd are doing just that. It's the beginning of discipleship, we could say, to be able to take that step to say, I'm ready to cast off that which is harmful. I'm ready to cast off and lay down the heavy burden that this world lays upon us, keeping people sick and isolated in their suffering. It's saying we're ready to cast off the garments that seek to dehumanize and render us unholy and unworthy of life. We're casting off those garments. And so we begin this Holy Week where we began in Lent. And we take our cues from Bartimaeus, not the disciples. We will not ask Jesus to make us sit at his right and left hand and in the coming glory of some new oppressive empire. We're not going to do that. Like Bartimaeus, we will lay down the harms done to us, the harms we've done to each other, the harmful structures we seek release from. We will lay them down and follow the wounded healer. What do we want to lay down this week in order to follow the wounded healer? That is a question for us. Perhaps it's the cloak of ego, individualism, self-glory that in the end separates us from community. That's what the disciples struggled so much with. Perhaps that is also what we need to lay down. Perhaps for some of us, what we need to begin to lay down is the suffering caused by years of spiritual and religious trauma that we've carried with us for far too long. Can we lay that garment down and follow the wounded healer? Perhaps for others of us, it's a misguided theology that we need to lay down that tells me that my suffering is a punishment from God. Is that a theology that you hold on to? Maybe you need to lay that down. This theology that says that if God loves me, God will not let me suffer. Well, we know from the wounded healer that this is not true. Suffering is part of life. Sometimes we can explain it, sometimes we can't. But God is not a God who punishes or by inflicting suffering on you. Neither does suffering mean that God has abandoned you or ceased to advocate for you. Can we lay that bad theology down? Cast off that garment and follow the wounded healer. Perhaps a garment we need to lay down is our failure, intentional or not, to be with others in their suffering. Perhaps we couldn't be there for someone we wanted to be there for, and we carry guilt. We carry guilt. We can lay that guilt down too, because, and we can lay it right at the foot of the cross. We can say, because Jesus always invites us to second, third, fourth, 77,000 more chances. You don't have to carry around that guilt with you forever. You can lay that down to the failures, the times of failure where you haven't been able, for whatever reason, to be there for someone. You can lay that down too. And perhaps there's a garment we need to lay down too in terms of our failure to ask others to accompany us in our pain. Perhaps we need to lay down our garment of pride that says we can do it alone or we ought to do it alone. Remember, the kingdom is always a space where two or three or more are gathered together and caring for each other. So you may need to be the one who submits to anointing, who submits to needing a balm, who needs another friend to walk with you. Cast off the garment that keeps you from reaching out to the wounded healer, who is our Lord, but also to the community of wounded healers, who are us. Though we must contend with the truth this week that we do abandon each other, we are also drawn through confession into that true calling again, that to be the body of Christ in the world, we together are a community of wounded healers, and we will not abandon each other to suffer alone. So let's go toward the cross together and not go alone. Let us meet Jesus, the wounded healer, there. Amen.
As we laid down our clothes and our burdens this morning, I thought of the song Down by the Riverside, an African-American spiritual that was sung by enslaved people and throughout justice movements in our country's history. So in singing this song this morning, we lift up our voices with Black prophets from that time and throughout history and among us today, who are showing the way of justice. Let's sing together. Gonna lay down my burden down by the riverside, down by the riverside, down by the riverside. I'm gonna lay down my burden down by the riverside. I ain't gonna study war no more. I ain't gonna study war no more. I ain't gonna study war no more. Gonna study war no more. I ain't gonna study war no more. I ain't gonna study war no more. Ain't gonna study war no more. I'm gonna lay down my sword and shield down by the riverside, down by the riverside, down by the riverside. I'm gonna lay down sword and shield down by the riverside. I ain't gonna study war no more. I ain't gonna study war no more. I ain't gonna study war no more. Ain't gonna study war no more. I ain't gonna study war no more. I ain't gonna study war no more. Ain't gonna study war no more. I ain't gonna study war no more. I
ain't gonna study war no more. Ain't gonna study war no more. I ain't gonna study war no more. I ain't gonna study war no more. Ain't gonna study war no more.
Everlasting God, as we bring our gifts and lay them before you, we remember the crowds in Jerusalem who laid their cloaks on the road, shouting Hosanna as Jesus passed. We remember those who, with so little to give, gave freely. Help us to give freely of ourselves, our talents, our time, and our resources. To give your offering electronically, you can text any amount to 84321 or visit this website, tabunited.org/contribute.
You are holy, you show us the way. 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 You show us, you show us, you show us the way. You show us, you show us, you show us the way. Oh, you show us, you show us, you show us the way. You show us, you show us, you show us the way. You are justice, 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 you show us the way. Oh, you show us, you show us, you show us the way. You show us, you show us, you show us the way. You show us. You show us, you show us the way. You show us, you show us, you show us the way. You are freedom, 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 you show us the way. Oh, you show us, you show us, you show us the way. You show us, you show us. You show us the way. You show us, you show us, you show us the way. You show us, you show us, you show us the way. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise God, all creatures here below. Praise God above, ye heavenly hosts, Creator, Christ, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
Almighty God, we dedicate these gifts to your service. We dedicate our time, our hands, and our hearts to the healing of your earth and its people. Amen.
Amen. This is the time where we come together to share our joys and concerns and testimonies. This is a time of prayer. So I invite us to enter into this time and to allow, if you need, to allow your own voice to speak, allow yourself to articulate a prayer. You can do that through the chat feature and we will read those out loud. We also will lift up our silent prayers. So in this time, if you don't have words to share, but just need to lift up your prayers in silence, that is okay too. We know that God hears those prayers. Or if you need, want to share a joy, celebration with us, we would love to share in that joy as well. So let's take some time now to share what's on our heart in prayer before God and our community. We'll give just a few moments for those prayers to come in, and Nicole will read them out loud for us. So let's pray together.
Elliot's going to be helping me this morning, saying, God, in your mercy, and you can join him in saying, hear our prayer. From Deb, I am asking prayers for three beloved friends, Bob, Heather, and Terry. All of them are facing treatment for the return of their cancers.
God, in your mercy, hear our prayer.
From Jean and Amy, prayers of gratitude for Barbara Tilly's being home and sounding like her old self.
God, in your mercy, hear our prayer.
From Geneva, a prayer for all the victims of gun violence in our country and in our city, especially their grieving families.
God, in your mercy, hear our prayer.
From Sarah, prayers for the family and friends of Dominic Militello. Dominic was an elementary and high school classmate who lost his battle with cancer this week. Praying for his wife, Carly, and their young son, Valentine.
God, in your mercy, hear our prayer.
From Kristen, I am very thankful I was able to be with my mom and have Pastor Katie pray with us when she passed. I'm thankful my daughter got her second vaccine and asking prayers for her because she is having a bad reaction and she is alone in her dorm.
God, in your mercy, hear our prayer.
From Lucinda, two students' families are struggling financially. I pray for them to find support.
God, in your mercy, hear our prayer.
From Ariana, prayers for encouragement to pass my architecture exams.
God, in your mercy, hear our prayer.
From Anna, prayer of joy that my parents can visit with their grandchildren this week for the first time in a year. And prayers of thanksgiving for all those who developed and distributed the vaccine that made this possible.
God, in your mercy, hear our prayer.
From Susan, prayers for the Thompson family as they continue to move forward toward freedom. Prayers for their peace and their wisdom.
God, in your mercy, hear our prayer.
From Sana, prayer of joy for Michelle and Amanda, who won the happy hour trivia last week.
God, in your mercy, hear our prayer.
From Amanda, prayers for my Aunt Michelle, whose kidney function is down to 1%. Prayers for the broken healthcare system in this country. She was uninsured, which is how things got this bad.
God, in your mercy, hear our prayer.
From Chris, for people suffering from violence in Philadelphia, Colorado, Atlanta, and Myanmar. For my friend Julie, who lost her mother to cancer this week. For the preservation of our voting rights.
God, in your mercy, hear our prayer.
From Sarah, prayers for my brother, who's having a bad reaction to the COVID vaccine. But prayers of thanks that he was able to get the vaccine too.
God, in your mercy, hear our prayer.
From Vic, gratitude for the caregivers who care for our ill patients and those dying alone.
God, in your mercy, hear our prayer.
From Sana, prayer of joy for Tonio, who turned 7 today.
God, in your mercy, hear our prayer.
From Pax, prayers for trans people in Alabama, Arkansas, South Dakota, and all states where anti-trans legislation is being signed into law. Prayers for their safety.
God, in your mercy, hear our prayer.
From Gwyneth, prayers of thanks for a friend reaching out to me for a hike.
God, in your mercy, hear our prayer.
Thanksgiving for each of you for sharing your joys, which we hold with you, as well as your prayers for comfort and strength and healing in all the various ways we're longing for that. Also, thanksgiving for Elliot for holding the words of this whole church family together. Thank you, Elliot, and thank you, Nicole, for reading those prayers. Let us lift up all these prayers, both the joyful ones as well as the concerns. Let's lift them all up and sing together and trust these prayers into God's hands. Continue in our prayer. God, we are especially aware this morning that we follow a healer who was wounded and who walked this earth through suffering and through trial and abandonment. And God, we are aware that that is you, that that is you, and that you do not abandon us to suffer alone. And you call us, God, to be there with you and for each other. We thank you, God, that you are incarnate, that you became like one of us, and that you show us a path, a way toward healing and to a different way to be in this world, where all bodies are treated as holy and sacred, and where your creation is treated as holy and sacred. God, we ask for your help in all the ways that we need and long for healing. Help us, God, in these places that are so difficult. Be with us as you are always there, but God, please be with us in ways that we can feel and grasp. We need you, God. We need your power and your strength. So we ask these things in the name of Jesus, in the name of our great physician, our wounded healer. Thank you that he taught us to pray. And so we gather with one voice, saying together this prayer that he taught us. Our parent who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
I bind my heart this tide to the Galilean side, to the wounds of Calvary, to the Christ who died for. My soul this day to the neighbor far away, and the stranger near at hand, in this town and in this land. I bind myself in thrall to the God, the Lord of all, to the God, the poor one's friend, and the Christ whom God did send. I bind myself to peace, to make strife and envy cease. God, knit thou sure the cord of my thraldom.
Friends, as you go forth this week into this holy week, I invite you to go forward knowing that you don't go alone, that Jesus, our healer, walks with us. And we, the community, both here present, also those who have gone before us, all the saints and our ancestors in the faith, surround us as we walk forward. So let us go knowing that we do not go alone. Let us join each other and be there for each other, and go in peace to serve God, to serve God's creation and each other. Amen.